What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hennen. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. What's on your mind? All topics are open game. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with defense attorney, one of my friends, Chad. He's going to be in the studio with us and talking about synthetic drugs and how that plays into the Fourth Amendment.
Specifically, there's a case before the North Dakota Supreme Court that you may have heard us talk about last week. Chad McCabe, by the way, is the defense attorney that will join us at the bottom of the hour. And we understand that one of his cases are being used as a premise for the challenge of the law that's before the Supreme Court regarding a search and seizure. And so anyway, I think the bigger issue is just the synthetic drugs and the concern that what they bring to the table. But obviously, the Supreme Court case has brought some interesting dilemmas into this debate, so we're going to tackle all of that coming up at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we're asking the question, what's on your mind? I want to talk a little bit about Ham Shabani. The Board of Higher Education is meeting in Medora today. They've had some discussion about open meeting laws and how to follow the rules regarding open meeting laws. Specifically, there's been a discussion about going into executive session today to discuss the contract of Ham Shabani. And, you know, the North Dakota Board of Higher Education was given the flexibility by the legislature to buy out the contract of Ham Shabani if they wanted to. And I'm curious if our listeners have an opinion based on everything they've heard and read and seen about Ham Shabani and whether or not it would be best for him to continue in the post as the chancellor of the North Dakota University system. Here's my question. If not Ham, who? In other words, if Ham Shabani was not the chancellor of North Dakota University system, say today they go into executive session and they say, hey, right or wrong, we're going to buy this guy out because there's no way he can lead now, having had his name dragged through the mud. In my view, that scores a big victory for the folks who do not want reform. And the folks who do not want reform, quite honestly, in my view, have been mostly the president's office and the supporters of the president's on the campuses of UND and NDSU. There's been, you know, a little bit of grumbling out of Minot. You got a president who's retiring there. But for the most part, I would call it vitriol directed at Ham Shabani has come from the big schools in North Dakota, NDSU and UND, specifically the presidents and the supporters of those presidents. Can you imagine if they're successful in toppling this chancellor? Who in the right mind would ever take this job? Now, and would we ever get any kind of real reform going way back to the higher education roundtable in North Dakota higher education? To me, this is the last chance for whether you like Ham Shabani, whether you don't like Ham Shabani, if you believe there needs to be a system and a accountability for the dollars of the taxpayers. This is what lies in the balance, not one individual and who in the chancellor is. That's my view. Steve, what's yours?
You know, one of the things I don't like about this, and I'm a supporter of Ham Shabani, he was brought in to do a very difficult job, and people just don't like the way he's doing it. Well, so be it. He's doing a job that he was asked to do, and I think that's where the onus lies. However, he did get hauled out on the carpet a little bit for some of the open meetings laws. Attorney General Stengem said that, yeah, there was a violation of open meetings laws, and now they're having a meeting behind closed doors. What are they thinking? Where's the transparency? If you've been chided
a little
bit. Well,
if you're negotiating, here's the theory, and we'll ask our listeners, what they'd like, because it's their money that's at risk here.
It's a lot of money.
So it's ultimately up to the taxpayers anyway to decide this. But the laws suggest that you can only go into executive session when you're discussing fiscal matters. And in other words, to say, if in the case of the Board of Higher Ed, we're going to offer, you know, Ham Shabani X amount of dollars. And if you do that in public and there's a negotiation, obviously he knows what your position is. So you could end up costing yourselves more money. You put more dollars at risk because you're being public about that information. So the law gives the Board of Higher Ed or elected bodies the ability to go into a executive session when there's matters of, dollars and cents at risk. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. But
You don't want them to? You'd rather have the dollars at risk? What's your? I mean, what are you saying? What is your argument?
If those numbers are public numbers anyway.
Well, no, the dollars and cents of the contract are public anyway, but not a buyout offer, for instance. In other words, if they decide to say, we're going to buy him out, and here's what we're going to offer him, we're no less than, no more than is what we want to spend, you've shown your hand.
So if the doors are closed, are you assuming that there's a buyout in play?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure. I think the media is suggesting that there's a buyout going. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think, Linda Donlan, from the Board of Higher Education has said basically it was about whether or not to offer an extension or not. And they may want to go in and say, you know what, you didn't have the best, approach communication wise. We want you to do this better, or that better, or whatever. I don't know. To me, personnel issues like that and things where they want to, you know, negotiate. I don't have a problem if they go into a private session myself. But, by and large, they ought to err on the side of being everything out in public. But when it comes to a negotiating stance, it seems to me to make sense to have an executive session. If they're not, if they're using it for the stated purpose, and that is, get our negotiation strategy down on an item that is, fiscally important to us, that seems to make some sense. There's some mystery here about what, they're doing, because they have voted to support this guy on a number of occasions, so I'm not sure they're planning a buyout anyway. I think the bigger question is, should they be? Do you want them to? And if he goes, if he's not the chancellor of the North Dakota University system, who would take that job, and what chance is there that there will be an actual system, or you're just going to have two of the most powerful presidents in the university system running the show?
It's kind of what we have now, isn't it?
Pretty much.
From a taxpayer's standpoint, somebody's got to rein in higher education. I think Shirvani's the guy he was brought in to do that job. They don't like the way he's doing the job. The universities don't like the fact that they're getting reined in. Well, tough.
The former Fargo-Moorhead opined on this, said he ought to be ought to resign, ought to go. Said Dwayne Espegard, the president of the Board of Higher Ed, ought to go. Their argument was, right or wrong, everything that's been done to this point makes it impossible for Ham Shirvani to lead or Dwayne Espegard to lead. That's one newspaper. That's one opinion that has been out there.
See, why does that make it hard for him to lead, though?
Well, I guess the argument is,
he's put in some policies. He's followed up with them. He's holding presidents accountable. You know what? If you're not going to play by the rules of the guy that's your boss, guess what? You can go.
Well, I think the critics of Ham Shirvani have damaged his ability to lead. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it was done by design by the critics. I think they're trying to prevent reform. They don't like the guy, whether they say, hey, he's too conservative. I mean, there's evidently been emails back and forth about, he's a religious zealot, so his religion has been taken into, brought about as an issue of whether or not he should stay or go. I mean, his critics don't like him. They're trying to take him down, they've thrown all kinds of accusations at him and made it more difficult for him to lead.
Here's my question, Scott. Yeah. Scott, here's my question. Is higher education broke? From a taxpayer's perspective, is higher education in North Dakota broke? I think that's the question we need to ask. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Does it need to be fixed? Is there something wrong with higher education?
When you say broke, you don't mean broke as in fiscally.
Definitely not financially. Is the system broken?
Yeah.
Does it need to be overhauled? Does it need to be reined in? Because they keep asking for more money. They keep getting more money.
I would add a little bit of a larger question. Do you want a system? Do you want 11 individual campuses to run the show, or do you want a system? Do you want legislators lay out a landscape of how they'd like higher ed to work? There's a system, a chancellor implements that system, or should it be 11 autonomous schools deciding for themselves how best to govern it? Which is the best
Shirvani,
approach?
If Shirvani goes, the board should go, and it should go back onto the governor.
By the way, this will all be before the voters, when I say all, at least a change in how the system is governed. So there's another question. There's already going to be a little bit of limbo between now and the next election on how higher ed is governed. I just can't imagine if Ham Shirvani's bought out today And again, we don't know if that's what's being discussed. We have no idea. They've talked about going into executive session to discuss the contract. We don't know if that means a buyout or not. There's reporting today that Ham Shavani's going to offer a proposal, and none of this is going to happen during the show, so we're not going to know this hour what exactly is happening. We might know more tomorrow. But if he does go, if he is bought out, what will happen to the idea of a system? I think you'll have basically 11 institutions saying, here's how we're going to do it. Anyway, so off-air caller wanted to know what Ham Shavani's religion is. It's Catholicism. But he was born in Iran, so I think that confuses some folks. But it is he is Catholic. Anyway, more coming up. Straight ahead.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty sales center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes sales center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
The 9th Annual Health Freedom Expo returns June 7th through June 9th at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, featuring over 75 world-renowned doctors, activists, and experts. Meet Dr. Joel Wallach, author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actress and activist Daryl Hannah, famed Dr. Patch Adams, women's health expert Dr. Joan Borisenko, GMO activist Jeffrey Smith, and renowned natural health doctor Dr. Joseph Mercola. Sample delicious, healthy foods. Watch award-winning documentaries. Attend exciting panel discussions. Discover the latest natural health products. And be sure to check out the expo hall, filled with 200 exhibitors. Don't forget about the new interactive pavilions and receive free screenings. It's all here under one roof for only $20 a day or $45 for the entire three-day weekend. It costs less than a doctor's visit. But hurry, tickets are going fast. For tickets and info, visit healthfreedomexpo.com or call 888-658-3972. The Health Freedom Expo, your one source for total natural health solutions.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hannon, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Pretty good line of showers stretching across North Dakota today from the southwest, moving to the northeast, and kind of a northeasterly, easterly fashion, but some pretty heavy cells embedded in there. We'll get a look at your forecast coming up in just a little bit. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Dennis in Bismarck, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you. I'll make this quick. You know, when you've lost the trust of the people, you've lost the ability to lead. and your guest, Donald Rumsfeld, with his book, Rumsfeld Rule, reiterated that a couple of weeks ago when you had him online. Well, our attorney general said that the State Board of Higher Ed and the chancellor conducted themselves in such a way that he felt that their behavior was a pervasive and intentional violation of open record laws. Now, if that isn't a break of trust, I don't know what is.
You got to consider some of the source on that, though. I understand the open records laws, and I'm open a firm believer that there should be 100% transparency in that. But maybe this is a little bit of the conspiracy theorist in me, but at a certain point, is the deck trying to be stacked against the chancellor?
Well, the source for that is the attorney general. Pervasive and intentional violation of open record laws. That is the opinion of our attorney general. I'll consider that our source.
Right. I would really like the attorney general to dig into the books of some of the higher education systems here in North Dakota. Open up some of the records and see what some of the spending and some of the deals that are being done at NDSU, UND, and some of the institutions around the state. Do you really want the attorney general digging into everything that deep?
Well, I would ask Dennis a question that if in fact he's concerned about the meetings, and I'm not so sure majority of people are. I think there's, that sort of adds to the headlines. But the wrongdoing there is with the Board of Higher Ed. It's not with the chancellor. Right, Dennis?
It's the way the State Board of Higher Ed is conducting itself.
Right, but Ham Shavani is the chancellor of the university system. He's not on the Board of Higher Ed. He's not appointed. I think the concerns that Wayne Stengem talked about that have been so prevalent in the news have been to do with the board members themselves, who are the appointed members who have the responsibility to do the notifications and not meet where there's a quorum and kind of all those arguments. So that's less of an indictment against the chancellor than it is the Board of Higher Ed, isn't it?
However, you have to agree that the chancellor has found himself in one mess after another. And who is he responsible to? He is responsible to the State Board of Higher Education. And now we have to trust the State Board of Higher Education to do the right thing.
But let's talk about the messes. Let's separate the meeting, open meeting violations out for a second, because those obviously would be, as we said, Board of Higher Ed issues. What messes most concern you that the chancellor has found himself in?
Well, my concerns are first and foremost with the State Board of Higher Ed. That's what this concern was about. And the concern about is we don't know what the State Board of Higher Ed is meaning about right now. But I would go back to the Attorney General's opinion, pervasive and intentional violation of open record laws. Why is that even going on? And if you look at this series, this last year, I think North Dakota citizens have every reason to be concerned about their State Board of Higher Ed. I don't know what the State Board of Higher Ed is up to today, but isn't that the problem?
Well, do you think that the Board of Higher Ed should go? Do you think that you go back to the governor? There was a plan in the legislative session to dissolve the Board of Higher Education, bring it back to the governor's office. I believe it was, a three-person panel, Scott? If I'm misinformed there, you can correct me. But
no, there's going to be a vote on that question but ultimately pass.
Dennis, would you be for dissolving the Board of Higher Education then?
Well, let me tell you, I'll go back because you're correct. The chancellor reports to the State Board of Higher Ed. And that's the State Board of Higher Ed's responsibility to evaluate his work. However, you and I have to agree that for this last year, we have seen one mess after another. We don't have the time to go through those one by one. That's the State Board of Higher Ed's responsibility. I think it would be a shame to lose the State Board of Higher Ed. I think that would be a real shame. It's set up in a way to be politically immune from the views of the legislature and the governor's office. However, with that in mind, here's an opportunity for the state board to set the course right. Let's see the state board stand up and do the right thing. And let's see the state board take control again of higher education, conduct itself openly, respectfully, and honestly with the public.
Yeah. And my only question is I don't think because of the open meeting violations, which have been, by the way, corrected with a board retreat. So, I mean, there's not exactly a real big hue and cry as a result of those. I mean, they've erred, according to the Attorney General. The fix is, hey, better understand the laws, Board of Higher Ed members. But I don't think those violations suggest the Board of Higher Ed is doing an overall bad job. I think the Board of Higher Ed hired Ham Shavani as chancellor and said, we want a system. We want students to graduate quicker. Get our graduation rates in shape. We want to get a handle on tuition rates. Those are the big issues. I don't think the average student out there, the average parent paying the tab, is sitting there going, "Oh, these open meeting laws." I just think it's sort of a nuisance issue. I mean, follow the law. They're now correcting it. They're now getting the correct information. That's great. But boy, those aren't the big issues in higher ed, are they, Dennis? Any things that really concern you?
Yeah, they do. Because without trust, I'll go back. Without trust, I don't trust anything that comes after that. And I think that is a big deal. I think you can't just whitewash over the issue that our attorney general, who shouldn't have had to even step in, but he did because it is such a mess. Pervasive and intentional violation of open record laws. Why does that even have to be the case? What are they hiding? I mean, these are people who are paid very well and they should know better.
Well, again, they're recreating the meeting. So, again, we know everything that was discussed in those, and it was basically over dinner meetings. So we know what was discussed. They now had a retreat. They fixed it. I just don't see those as the big issues in higher ed.
You obviously do.
And I think Dennis raises a good point on trust, and I think that's the issue with Ham Shmani. Can he be trusted to lead now as chancellor? His critics have been successful in pounding away at him and putting the issue out there on whether or not he can be trusted, and now...
But the board isn't 100% on board with defending Shmani either, because I believe it was last week, the board rejected an internal auditor's report that cleared the university's chancellor of the fraud allegations.
That was a mixed bag. You had to dig into that a little bit. The headline sounded much like your voicing. It was a little bit different. Let's get another call in here. Jim from Donnybrook, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Jim.
I guess you've just started to get back to what I was thinking of. There's only one question that needs to be asked to start with, is under the circumstances with what's happened and the perception of him, can he effectively do the job he was hired to do? My answer would be no, and I think he should leave. And whether that's right or wrong as far as how he's performed, but you can't lead unless you're perceived to be a leader. And I don't think there's any group in North Dakota that I'm aware of, Board of Higher Ed, Legislature, University Presidents, Student Associations.
Jim, we're up against the break. If you want to hold over for just a few minutes, we'll come back to your comments. It's What's On Your Mind.
We'll be right back with more of What's On Your Mind after these messages.
Here's a really good reason to shop Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. 7 new vehicle brands to choose from on one lot. That means you can take a test drive in a new F-Series truck, then a new Ram, and follow that with a GMC Sierra. What a great way to compare trucks and choose the one you like best and do it all in one stop. Nelson has a great lineup of great cars, vans, and SUVs too. Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, plus GMC. Nelson Auto Center has them all. Your choice and the best buy always. And we deliver your vehicle free within 300 miles. NelsonFergusFalls.com, exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
This is What's on Your Mind. Chad McCabe, the defense attorney, will join us to talk about the Supreme Court case on the synthetic drug defendants who are using an issue regarding the search and seizure laws to possibly have a conviction overturned on a very important piece of legal work regarding synthetic drug use and sales in North Dakota. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to finish up our conversation on Ham Shabani and the Board of Higher Ed. First with Jim and Donnybrook, and then Marion Dickinson before we get to Chad. Go ahead, Jim. Finish your point on the leadership issue with the chancellor.
Well, I think I probably finished. My point being is before anything else can be answered, the question is, can he effectively fulfill his job and then do the mission that the Board of Higher Ed wants him to do, and I don't feel he can, and so I feel he should be dismissed.
And by the way, if not him, who? Can you imagine? What my only concern is if Ham Shabani is the victim of all those that are, you know, I mean, he's got a boat full of critics, most of whom would like to see reform done another way in higher education. They have a different agenda, okay? Then who's going to take the job? Who in their right mind would they ever get to come in here, especially knowing that the voters are going to decide whether or not to change the system altogether coming up in the next election?
So what you're saying is even though he can't effectively do his job, we should retain him, then, is your point.
No, my point is he's fearless at this point because the guy's been the subject of so much criticism. He's the best guy for the job up until the voters decide, do we want the current, 9-member Board of Higher Education to continue, or do we want a full-time 3-member commission, a new leadership structure for the Board of Higher Ed? I think he'd be the best guy to continue to implement. Mind you, all Ham Shabani's done is exactly what the Board of Higher Ed asked him to do. The only question is whether or not he's done it with the correct bedside manner, the best communication skills. He's not done anything they haven't asked him to do.
Anybody coming in new would be a lame duck. There's just no way around that. That would be a lame duck.
I don't think you'd get anybody. I think the system would die. I think you'd have 11 institutions running things the way they want, and we get away from a system model.
You mean running amok like they are now?
So you guys both are, your position is, even though he really doesn't have any constituency behind him, he can effectively lead under these circumstances. Is that right?
I think he's got a constituency that wants reform in higher ed, that wants a system. So I think he does that. I think the guy's been damaged by his critics. There's no question. I think he's given some ammunition to his critics by his forceful, quick moving style. But I think that our only chance for real reform in higher ed is this guy stays, because I don't think you'll get anybody to replace him. And I don't think he's done anything wrong. I don't think, other than his manner and maybe speed at which he decided to operate after taking that job last July. But I do think you raise a fair point. Is he able to lead? Right or wrong, is he able to lead? I think that's the question the board will have to
ask. Jim, thanks for the phone call. We need to move on to Mary. Mary and Dickinson, what's on your mind today?
I think he should stay. And I think that he should do a house cleaning from the top to the bottom, because obviously somebody is set out to sabotage him. and it reminds me all too well of small town, and I won't confine it to North Dakota because I know of other areas and other city and other towns where, this guy isn't doing things the way I want him to do, so therefore I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make as much trouble for him as possible, whether it's right or
the good
whether
old boy
it's
network.
Wrong.
Backroom politics.
Yeah, and so we're going to get rid of him one way or the other. And I think he should just maybe do a major house cleaning and fire a whole bunch of them.
You think he should probably start with some of the presidents?
Oh, yeah. Because that, you know, that's where it's coming from. You know, they're not going to stand up and start saying, they're not going to come right out because that's going to lynch them right there on the spot. So they're rebel-rousing behind the background. You see this all too many times, not just in this situation, but in a lot of situations. And from the moment I heard this come out, I knew immediately what was going on. He walked into somebody's little kingdom and shook it up, and that individual started the process.
And all he did was do exactly what his bosses told him to do.
Precisely.
Yeah. So I don't know how you fault that guy.
Said, anybody else who comes in here is going to have the same thing.
I don't think they'll get anybody.
Exact thing.
I can't imagine anybody take the job. I think it would just have to be an unfilled position until the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So you know who your bosses are going to be. Now, very interesting, Mary. Thanks for the call. Marion Dickinson, fascinating topic. Thank you all for weighing in on it. By the way, our previous hour, I never did tell you the final tally, but we're the final tally. We were talking about whether or not we needed stronger helmet laws based on some new insurance industry studies. The tally ended up being 12 no, 4 yes. So I'm nuts, you're normal, according to that equation. A little different than Friday's tally. But we're going to bring in Chad McCabe here, defense attorney, to talk a little bit about a case before the Supreme Court. Chad, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me again.
What's in the balance with this case? And maybe tell folks a little bit about what the Supreme Court is wrestling with here particularly. I know this is a high-profile case. A lot of folks see some bad guys here who are running synthetic drugs they see a Supreme Court case that is, you know, potentially threatening that conviction. What's at stake here from your perspective?
Well, and of course, there are some trial issues that the defense attorneys are raising as well. But I think the main crux of the case, the big focus the Supreme Court was looking at, was the search of the package that was at the We Ship. And there's just a flurry of constitutional issues surrounding that particular search and how it was handled. Looking at it, analyzing it from all the issues, that I think they've got an excellent chance of prevailing, but you know, you just never know what the Supreme Court's going to do. I listened to their questions that they asked, and sometimes they do play devil's advocate up there at the Supreme Court, so it's hard to read which way they're necessarily going to go, but I think they were rather troubled by this, and the guiding case is actually a case that I argued up there a number of years ago, now State v. Wrestler, and it was actually at the We Ship place and was actually involving the same individual that worked there that searched in the package and then invited the police over. The interesting thing about this case, though, is that the actual search was not conducted until the police came. In the Wrestler case, the search had already taken place by the gentleman, and then he invited the police over. They took the package over to the police station, and the Supreme Court found that the taking of the package to the station and then searching at that point was unconstitutional. Here, it's even more troublesome because they're standing over as he opens up the package, and I think that's what the court was really bothered about. And I think the other interesting thing, there's a U.S. Supreme Court case that if this case loses, it's probably going to be based upon that case. It's U.S. versus Jacobson. And essentially what Jacobson says, that if you gain nothing more than what a private, because, you know, the Fourth Amendment only protects us against government searches. The Fourth Amendment doesn't protect us against if a private search, somebody gives the government the information. We call that the silver platter doctrine. And so, essentially, when this We Ship gentleman opened up this package, he was able to do so. Nobody could stop him. It was his business practice to do so when he felt something was suspicious. But the question is, you know, did the government gain anything beyond what he had already showed them when they searched. And I think reading the facts and even Judge Reich's opinion, because this case was first decided by Judge Reich, the district judge, now it's up on appeal. And I think his factual findings were that the police stood over him as he opened it up.
Chad, in the case, as I'm reading some of this, one of the questions that came up within this case at the Supreme Court was the fact that there wasn't a search warrant previous. Where does a search warrant come into play in a case like this? Where is it supposed to come into play in a case like this?
Well, that, you know, we always start with the Fourth Amendment requiring a search warrant, and then of course there's just a, as I said before, a flurry of exceptions. But in this particular case, they probably could not have gotten a search warrant, because what you need to get a search warrant is what we call probable cause. And even in the Wrestler case that I referred to with the other case with Weeship, there wasn't sufficient probable cause even when the person opened the box. And the state conceded there wasn't probable cause, and the package was taken over to the Morton County Law Enforcement Center, and that was held to be an unconstitutional seizure and unreasonable. And so in this particular case, you wouldn't have gotten a search warrant, arguably based upon what the individual saw. But it's really hairy, because the individual opened it up right in front of them, and arguably he was doing it as an agent of them. Now, I understand Judge Reich found differently and said that he wasn't an agent, but I think there's a pretty good argument that the Supreme Court might bite on, that he, in fact, was operating as an agent of the law, you know, law enforcement, and therefore right then and there it was unconstitutional. The second thing that I think is really critical is in the Jacobson case, that U.S. Supreme Court case, all they did was take a butter knife and stick it inside from something they already saw in plain view and pulled it out. And the Supreme Court said that was a de minimis violation because it was just a tiny bit on a butter knife. Here in this case, they actually took an entire tube out of stuff and took it to the crime lab. And not only did they not have it for just a brief moment, because they permanently took it to the crime lab, they took something that arguably was not in plain view. So I think that the defendants in this case have a pretty decent argument for a number of constitutional violations.
Who's right here? And what happens if ultimately this case is thrown out? Are these guys walking free?
Yeah, in this case, they actually went to trial, so they didn't even have, sometimes we do what's called a conditional plea if we feel we've got a good constitutional issue, but there's just, you know, no way to prevail otherwise. We'll plead guilty, but it's a conditional plea. That's actually what the Wrestler case was. And then when the Supreme Court reversed Wrestler and filed an unconstitutional search, the conviction was reversed, the plea of guilty was withdrawn, and the case was dismissed. In this case, you've got people that have been convicted by a jury, and so if the Supreme Court reverses a conviction, it'll just be reversed. You don't have to withdraw a plea of guilty, you just reverse a conviction. And to answer your question, yes, they will walk.
And there's no bearing now on, with the legislative session this last time around, they changed some of the laws concerning synthetic drugs. So there's no bearing on that. This goes completely previous. All the facts in this case are previous to that new legislation.
Yeah, the real big thing is fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine, if you've heard of that, that the U.S. Supreme Court has said that when you have an unconstitutional act, all fruit from that poisonous tree is thrown out, and that's what happens.
Short break, back with more. Defense Attorney Chad McCabe talking about this case before the Supreme Court right now. Any questions for him? 800-228-0550. This is What's on Your Mind. Tell you about the weather next, too.
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row-crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row-crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, you can kill skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. That's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give 100% guarantee if that smell ever comes back, call us up or refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to GetRidOfSmellNow.com, use the promo code SCOTT, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. GetRidOfSmellNow.com, 100% money-back guarantee. You can't beat it, and it's North Dakota made.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bakken, along with Scott Hennen, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Kind of a cool, breezy, wet day, something we've become accustomed to here in North Dakota and eastern Montana and Minnesota and South Dakota. It seems like this rain will not end. We needed it, but Bismarck this hour, 49, overcast, some light rain around the area. Williston, 52 this hour, 49 in Dickinson. Minot at 50, Bowman at 55, Devil's Lake 55, Grand Forks 67, Fargo 62 this hour. Kind of a wet one again, Scott.
It is indeed, and you know what? For June, these temperatures stink. I don't know of a better term to come up with it, but I mean, they do. Crying out loud. I mean,
38 degrees this morning in Grand Forks.
High of 61 in Bismarck. Windy, precip chance 80%. Tonight, occasional showers, thunderstorms. Look at this, low 49. And tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, 58 for high.
Hello. I may have to golf in this.
It's June, 67 today in Fargo. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms, low 51. Tomorrow, showers, thunderstorms, 62. Oil patch, 57, breezy, 100% chance of rain. Minot, showers, thunderstorms, occasional showers, thunderstorm, 58. Tonight, 46 degrees in Minot. With the showers and the windy conditions tomorrow, high 57 Dickinson, you know, hitting 60, breezy. Chance of precip 100% tomorrow, 56.
Sure glad that global warming's kicking in.
Low to 944.
Yeah.
All right, there you have the weather, folks. 800-228-0550. A couple minutes left on What's on Your Mind, the Monday edition. A lot of chatter today on a bunch of topics. That's been fun. Thank you for the calls on Ham Shivani and on the helmet laws and insurance studies. And we're wrapping up with a discussion with Defense Attorney Chad McCabe on what might just happen before the North Dakota Supreme Court on the potential overturning of a conviction on some drug lords on synthetic drugs. And, Chad, I know Steve has a follow-up. I have one, too. Do you put this on law enforcement? In other words, could this conviction have stood if they'd just taken that extra step? I mean, they'd have got the warrant. Would they not have? I mean, is this, in your view, sloppiness on the part of law enforcement to not go that extra step?
Well, you know, it depends on, I mean, there is an argument to be made, and I don't know if the Supreme Court's going to go down this path, but it's by letting the individual open the package in front of them that in itself was an unconstitutional search. But if you take the premise that the individual was going to do it regardless, which is what he said he was going to do, he was going to open it irregardless of the officers or not, when they looked in, if they can claim that what they saw, you know, gave them probable cause, and that's really the critical factor. If it justified probable cause from what they saw, I'm not sure it rose to that level, although Judge Reich did find that, then certainly they could go get a search warrant, and they didn't. And that's the real fatal flaw is not getting the search warrant. But I'm not so sure they even had the probable cause to get the search warrant until they started removing items from the package.
Is that the biggest concern of the Supreme Court, is the lack of search warrant? Or what are some of their other concerns?
Well, again, you know, they play devil's advocate up there, so it's really, you know, sometimes the other person that's getting yelled at the most ends up winning the case. So it's really hard to judge the justices as to how they really feel. But I can say that if they are troubled, it sounds to me like they were troubled by allowing the individual to open up the package in front of them, and that they were troubled that then when it was open that they took part of the package over to the crime lab. I mean, just literally took it to a different place. And then after that, then they take everything out of the package, and then they take all the contents over to the law enforcement center. So it could set a big precedent as to how law enforcement in the future handle these sorts of things. But it's just odd that this is, in some respects, you know, many similarities to the Wrestler case, which involved the Weishia place and the same individual that opened the package.
Let's go to Kurt in Bismarck. Kurt, what's on your mind today?
Say, I commented on that last week. I think they did the right thing by opening the package, because we don't need that synthetic drugs, marijuana, cocaine, anything like that on the streets anymore. Just get rid of it. I mean, anybody that uses that or sells it should have a brand on their forehead considered as loser, because if you need to do that stuff, then I don't know, why do we need any of it in the first place?
And you know, Kurt, I think the points Kurt's made, Chad, probably would mirror the vast majority of folks. You know, Supreme Court, you know, these guys are lawbreakers. Throw the book at them, get them off the streets, save lives. What do you say to that as a defense attorney?
Well, I can't disagree with the gentleman in his beliefs, but, you know, if we start tearing apart the Fourth Amendment, you know, at some point it's going to come back at us.
How dangerous is it having a private individual being able to open up a package that was going to be shipped? That was kind of a question for me in this case.
Well, I mean, he apparently has a policy of doing so at his business, but it's when the government gets involved where it becomes a problem from the Fourth Amendment standpoint. And I guess, you know, it's just an overall concern. I don't think anybody wants the government to start coming in their houses freely or opening up their cars freely. I think that's been sort of a flagship of our country, that we enjoy the fact that we're protected by government searches and seizures to some degree.
You started down this road. What are some of the precedents? Quickly, we have about 30 seconds.
I think the precedent
of allowing government to watch an individual open something up, I think that's going to be a big decision. And then taking something away from the area, you know, away, like far away.
Thank you, Chad. Chad McCabe, defense attorney. This is What's on Your Mind.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and .308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult, valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.